Good morning. How's everybody today? All right. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, or you can scan the QR code. We got some ushers coming down the aisles with Bibles. If you need one, raise a hand. They'll get one in your hands. Borrow it this morning. Keep it if you need it. Thanks for being here in person. And those who are joining us online today. So this morning, I'm going to preach on one verse. And you're like, phew, thank goodness. The message is going to be short. No, there's actually a lot in this verse. So Hebrews 11, 1 here in just a minute. But today, I am starting a new series called Faith, Hope, and Love. And the topic of faith, because it is foundational to our relationship with God. Hope, because we are surrounded with hopelessness. And love, because it is the greatest command, and it binds everything and everyone together. And this first message is called, Faith Has No Sight. In other words, true faith is blind. When the question gets asked, what is faith? There is the one verse that I always turn to in order to define it, and it is Hebrews 11, 1. I'm going to read it from three different translations. Hebrews 11, 1 out of the NIV says, Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The NLT says, Faith shows the reality of what we hope for and the evidence of things we cannot see. The ESV says, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So it uses the word sure, reality, and assurance, and then the second part, certain, evidence, and conviction. Eugene Peterson says it like this, The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. So we're going to dive in. If you're following along, the first idea is this, be sure of what you hope for. It's the first part of verse 1 in Hebrews 11. So chapter 11 begins with now faith. Sounds kind of a strange way to start a new chapter, except that chapter 11 follows chapter 10, which is entitled A Call to Persevere. So to understand faith, we first have to understand perseverance. The Bible speaks often about the Christian journey. It speaks often about perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? Perseverance is to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. I think that definition or that idea of perseverance speaks to all of us. I would guess that all of us today would say, I need to know more about staying the course in the face of difficulty. Here's what the Bible says about perseverance, so we can understand how faith and perseverance work together. James 1:12 says it like this, Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So James 1:12 implores us to not give up even when we face trials. Romans 5:3-4 says it like this, Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And so if you were to think about Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, there is this undercurrent that runs all the way through Scripture. It's this idea of like this, keep going. Be strong and courageous. Don't quit. Fix your eyes on Christ. Run the race. Don't give up. Press on. Now back to the verse in Hebrews 11, 1. The author of Hebrews is teaching us about faith because faith is a requirement for us to persevere through this life. So our faith and our ability to persevere are closely linked together. Depending on how much faith you have will determine whether you will persevere in the face of difficult times, or whether you will allow your circumstances and the difficult things you face and the trials to derail you. The trials we face are an invitation for us to turn inward towards self-reliance. leading us to believe that we can handle it, we can solve it, we can conquer it without ever needing to turn to God in faith. Cement is quite an interesting element in the construction process. It's a sloppy, wet mix of different ingredients, which only requires time as it dries and hardens, eventually offering this incredible strength. I thought of that because I think of faith and the Christian walk are kind of like cement in some ways. When you first become a believer, faith is like sloppy, wet cement. And the more that you mature in Christ, the more that you are sanctified, your faith hardens. And the weight of your Christian walk rests upon it more and more. Another passage, James 1, 2 through 4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And there's a lot in those couple of verses, and I want to just run it backwards for a second. Let's run that James 1, 2 through 4 backwards for just a second to see how it all comes together. So in that passage, it says the goal is maturity and lacking nothing. That's the ultimate goal. And the only way to be mature and lack nothing is to persevere, to allow it to finish its good work in us. Perseverance is produced in us when our faith is tested. Our faith is tested when we face trials of many kinds, of which all of those things lead us to joy. So joy is trials leading to our faith being tested, which leads to perseverance, which leads to maturity. Maturity in Christ, friends, is where you find joy. Faith is the answer to persevering through this life. As we keep the idea of persevering through this life in mind, let's take a closer look at Hebrews 11:1. And it begins like this. Now faith. Faith is one of those words that shows up in conversation often. No doubt meaning different things to different people at different times, depending on how they're using the word. Can we settle on a working definition and just how important it is to understand faith? We know that we can't be saved without faith. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. We know without faith it is impossible to please God. But let's keep going. It begins by faith. Now faith is, and then the next two words, being sure. Let's talk about being sure for just a minute. What in your life is for sure? Is there anything in your life that you can be absolutely sure about? Anything that you can be 100% confident about every morning when you get out of bed? What is it that you fully depend on? Do you know for sure that you'll have a job tomorrow? Are you certain that the financial market will hold? Do you know for sure that when you retire that Social Security is actually going to be there to take care of you? Are you sure you're making the right decision? Are you sure your spouse will never cheat on you? Are you sure your kids will grow up loving Jesus? Are you sure of your health? What about this one? Are you even sure whether you will even be alive by the end of today? We often face the day when we get up sure of a lot of things. We make decisions, we set our plans like we're sure. We go about our day like we are sure. We live in relationships like we are sure. Every person who watched Super Bowl 49 was absolutely sure that Marshawn Lynch was going to run the ball 1.5 feet and claim the victory of Super Bowl 49. Everyone was sure of that. But that's not what happened. Russell Wilson threw an interception in the end zone with 20 seconds left on the clock. Is there really anything in this life that is for sure? The only thing we know for sure is this very instant. There is no for sure beyond the breath that you are taking right now. So, what have we learned so far? Without faith, you cannot be sure. Faith is being sure. So God says, if you want to be sure, if you want to have faith, and if you have faith, you can be sure because faith is being sure. But let's keep going. If faith is being sure, it has to be linked to something that is bigger than this life, something that is bigger than you. For there to be true faith, it must be linked only to God and cannot be linked to anything else or anyone else. So if our faith is linked to a person, if our faith is linked to a place or a thing, it's not authentic biblical faith. So this idea to live sure, our faith must be in God and nothing else. A God who's all powerful, a God who's all knowing, who's all present, a God who is immovable, unhindered, unaffected, unchanging. What things in this life would you like to be sure about? It takes faith to believe in God. It takes faith to be saved. It takes faith to know that you're saved. It takes faith to believe that when you die, that you will see him face to face. It takes faith to know that God cares about you and will take care of you. It takes faith to know that you are loved by God and that you're a child of his. It takes faith to be bold for him. It takes faith to live according to his word. It takes faith to let go of your children and place them in the hands of God. It takes faith to trust. It takes faith to step out in the unknown. It takes faith to know that God has a plan for your life. All of that takes faith. Faith is being fully confident that what God has spoken will not fail. God is the only sure thing that we have in this life. All else, friends, is subject to change. God is the only sure thing that we have in this life. Everything else is subject to change. Sometimes it's not even the big stuff that we sweat over. More often it's the day in and the day out faith walk that we struggle with. To be a believer, you have to place your faith in God to save you, but that's not where faith ends, that's where faith begins. So once we're a child of God, our faith comes into question in real life like this. When there seems to be no way, like the song says, right? When there seems to be no way, will God really make a way? Will God really come through? When the money just doesn't seem to be enough, will God take care of us like he says that he will? When the trials of this life are overwhelming, will God meet me in the storm and give me all that I need to sustain me? When temptation is coming at me like a Mack truck, will God give me a way out? If I step out in faith and do what I believe God has asked me to do, will he give me all that I need to do it? When I let go of something I've been holding on to for so long, will God give me all that I need to keep going? When I ask for forgiveness, will God really forgive me and not hold it against me? There's quite a paradox when we talk about faith. We have a big enough faith to believe in God for eternal life, but not enough faith to trust him for our earthly life. Doesn't that really describe our life? What are the indicators that what I just said might be true? We worry about things, we fret, we get anxious, we lose sleep, we manipulate, we control, Those are all indicators indicating we are struggling to trust God with our earthly life. So this faith thing is actually, it's a pretty sweet deal, honestly. The next part of the verse says, being sure of what we hope for. Being sure of what we hope for. Sounds like all we need to do is make a list of things that we're hopeful for and then sprinkle a little of our faith dust, and presto, our list will come to fruition. Isn't having faith just that awesome? Have you experienced that? I just think positive thoughts and dream big dreams, and presto, it happens. I tried it on Friday. Cooperstown Bible Camp had a golf tournament to raise money for the camp. And Lori and I were asked to play with another couple, so there's two couples playing, and we played through the round, and I thought, well, you know, I've played in this before when I didn't do all that great, but I thought, okay, we ended up with a pretty decent score, so this time we're gonna stick around for supper and get our prize. So we stuck around, and we ate supper, and then they were getting into giving away the prizes, and they said the winning team shot a 49. Yeah, right. How many mulligans do you have to buy to shoot a 49? Really? And then they gave the score of the second team and the third team. We didn't make the top three. I'm not even sure we made the cut for the last place with our team. But golf is one of those things where I have a lot of faith. Dear God, when I play in this tournament, will you at least allow me not to be embarrassed this time? And sometimes he answers that prayer, but sometimes he's like, watch this. That's really hard. One translation puts it like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, literally meaning, this is what it means, meaning to stand under or to support. Faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. It's that sure. True faith is not blind optimism or manufactured hope-so feeling. Faith can be easily separated from foolishness depending on its source. Faith or foolishness. So how do we know when we are to have faith versus when we're just being foolish? Again, what is the source? Listen, faith is in the source, not in the outcome. There's an assumption made here in the second part of this verse. The assumption is this: that which we hope for is what God already has planned for us. God has never asked us to hope for things that are outside of his foreknowledge and his plan. Otherwise, that which we hope for would catch God by surprise, and it would put him in that position of reacting to whatever it is that we decide to do. I don't like the idea of serving a God whose hands are tied based on what I choose to do. Imagine God having to wait on us to see what we will hope for, and then, and only then, he goes and he makes it happen. By the way, some people believe this way, that they can somehow direct God's day. If God is not big enough to lead my life and direct my steps, then he's not big enough to be called God. Your faith in God is in direct proportion to the size of your God. The biggest thing in your life will direct your faith. Whether that is you, whether it's your job, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a person, again, the biggest thing in your life will be the object of your faith. What is this verse really saying? It could read like this. Faith is being sure of what God already has for us. Faith is not he will, it's he can. Faith in God and not in an outcome is supported all throughout Scripture. Take, for example, Moses leading the people out of captivity. Whose plan was it? God's. Therefore, Moses led the people by faith, knowing that God's plan would prevail. Consider Abraham, who stepped out in faith when God says, just step out in faith. Well, where am I going? I'll tell you. The same Abraham who offered his son in faith as a sacrifice because God asked him to do that. What about Joshua, who led the people to walk around Jericho 7 times? Or David, who faced Goliath out of faith? Or Peter, who after hearing Jesus call him, he stepped out on the water and walked on water? In every situation, when faith was exercised, either God spoke, telling him to go or to leave, or he made his plan clear and the people followed by faith. Faith is really a question that must be answered. Will God do what he said he will do? Do I believe God will accomplish what he claims? So faith is not believing in what I want, it's believing in what God wants. If our hope is not in the things God already has planned for us, then our hope can only be one other place. It would be in the things that I have planned for me. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. The assumption is that you are hoping for the very things that God hopes for. The second part of the verse, be certain of what you do not see. We're getting into the enter at your own risk part of faith. It's this idea of learning to live blind. And this, no doubt, is the part of the Christian life that is the scariest. Trusting in God for what I cannot see, for what you cannot see. Because listen, friends, if you can accomplish it on your own, then it's not faith. If you do not have to fully depend on God to accomplish it, then it's not faith. If things make complete sense, then it's not faith. If you can calculate it, it's not faith. If it can be planned, it's not faith. If it's predictable, it's not faith. If you can in any way make it happen on your own, it's not faith. Faith requires God. Faith does not and will not make sense. If you need it to make sense, then it's not faith. For faith to be faith, it cannot be accomplished by you or seen by you, because faith is being certain of what you cannot see. This is why faith is such a struggle for us, because it is in us to live insistent on being able to know and to be able to see what is going on in life now and what will happen in the future. So faith stands in the face of the tangible and the factual, and certain of what we do not see. Faith allows the believer to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Through faith, we can see what others cannot see. So let's try breaking this down in a very practical, everyday application. How do we walk in blind faith? It reminds me of a movie I watched quite a while ago, and then I actually just watched it again yesterday, finished it last night. It reminds me of a movie I watched called 23 Blast. It was about a high school junior who was a standout football player. And after one of the games his junior year, his eyes and his face began to swell. And after much testing, it was discovered that he had a serious virus that was attacking, and ultimately it caused him to lose his sight. A junior in high school was now blind. His new reality and new normal caused him to have to relearn everything in his life, from eating to getting dressed to going to school to hanging out with friends. Football was one of his greatest passions. His team was struggling, didn't make it to the playoffs, and then his senior year it started, and they started off really bad again. And one day the coach came to him and said, "What do you think about playing again?" And of course, he thought his coach was messing with him and just joking around. His coach said, no, really, I want you to play. And after he agreed to give it a shot, his teammates helped him. He played center, and his teammates would help him get on the field and get into the right position, and they taught him that after he snapped the ball, when he went up to block, he would kind of feel, he just used his hands to feel and know how to block. Came to the end of the season, and they were one game away from making the playoffs, something they hadn't done in 10 years. Came down to the final play. The coach made a play call, but the quarterback, you'd have to watch the movie, changed the call in the huddle. He was best friends with the kid who was now blind. He said, I want you to run 23 blasts right up the gut. How am I going to take the handoff? I can't see. I'm blind. And the quarterback said, don't worry about it. I'll make sure you get the ball. You just run straight ahead for the end zone. When they went to line up, he lined up in the backfield. This is the first time he had done this, and he was facing the wrong direction. And the other running back came over and straightened him out and got him facing straight ahead. The play started, and he took the handoff and ran straight ahead with many blocking for him. He was tackled on the goal line. After a few seconds, it was signaled that it was a touchdown, and the crowd, as you might imagine, erupted with cheers. And, of course, the coach had gotten over the fact that they had changed the call. Would you believe that the story I just told you is true? It was a true story about a perfectly healthy teenager learning to live blind, learning to play football blind. Would you do something for me? I think it's early enough in the morning that we could do this. Would you close your eyes for just a second? If you feel comfortable doing that. What you are experiencing right now is very similar to blind faith in a spiritual realm. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7 says this, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body and away from the Lord, for we live by faith and not by sight. Just sit with that for a second. We live by faith and not by sight. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. Blind faith affects every area of our life. It means we must learn to live knowing we have to place our complete faith in God for our future. It means we have to depend on God because we can't see. It means we have to wait on God to take us by the hand and to lead us. It means we have to learn to seek God for the decisions that we are faced. Knowing, trusting, seeking, abiding, being filled with the Spirit, all things in common of trusting God. How do we get it? It's not by trying harder. It's asking God to give you more faith. It would be a prayer of saying, God, I thought I understood faith. I've been really trying really hard to have faith. I've been trying to accomplish it in my intellect. I've been trying to accomplish it in what I do. It's simply to go before God and say, God, I want to live by faith. I want to know what it means to live by faith, to trust you in everything. Would you give me that faith? It comes from Him. Not from you. Let me leave you with this one thing. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for this one verse that is just packed full of truth, beginning to teach us and define for us what does faith mean and what does it look like to live by faith. God, in all honesty, we find ourselves being the source in which we place our faith. And we turn to you when we are at wit's end and we can't figure it out. And you're inviting us to walk by faith every day in every situation. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you give us more faith? Give us greater faith. Remind us when we are turning to self and self-reliance, and just tap us and say, hey, remember the source. You can't do this. You can't see it. You can't manipulate it. You can't control it. It's by faith. In your name we pray.